for the reading of God's word. I was sitting at my house this morning and the Lord spoke to me so strongly. I just wrote it down at the precursor of my passage today. I heard the Lord say, tell people to get ready for miracles they're not expecting and they don't deserve. Tell somebody he's talking to me if he's not talking to you. Come on. I heard the Lord say it clearly. Tell people to get ready for miracles they're not expecting and they don't deserve. No, you didn't fast this miracle in. You didn't pray it in. Yeah, come on. Yeah, you didn't believe it in. Come on. I feel a prophetic unction that God is releasing miracles unexpected and undeserved. If you're going to go ahead and claim that, open up your mouth and give God a praise that I'm next in the name. Yeah, go ahead, look at the youth pastor. He said, I'm going to claim it for myself. Look at your neighbor and say, if you don't want it, I'll take it. Yeah, I'll take yours and mine. Yeah, yeah, if you don't want yours, I'll take mine and yours. I'll take whatever God will do. My. Lord, I felt that in my bones. I want you to look at 2 Kings 5. My custom is to stand for the reading of God's word. Welcome from all over the world. You're joining us today, and we're honored to have you. Many of you, this is your church. We're so glad to have you today. I feel like preaching. Do you feel like receiving? I'm going to teach this Bible today. I love to do it. The Bible said in verse 1, now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was great and honorable. He was a man that was great and honorable in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor. Here's a conjunction, but. Somebody say but. But a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, if only. Somebody say, if only. If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would heal him from his leprosy. And Naaman went and told his master, saying, thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel. Then the king of Syria said, go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, now be advised when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy. Now it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes, had a panic attack, come on somebody, and said, am I God to kill and make alive that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he speaks a quarrel to me. So it was when Elijah, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent to the king and said, chill, brother. Relax. Why have you torn your clothes? Please let me come. Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood before the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent the messenger to him and said, go wash in the Jordan River 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean. But Naaman became furious. Ain't that just like your neighbor? And went away and said, indeed, I said to myself. He said, this is what I thought. I said, self, he will surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God. He will wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abinah and the Phapar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in rage. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says, wash and be clean? So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child. Come on, y'all. And he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and came and stood before him and said, indeed, now, somebody say now. Now I know there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now, therefore, please take a gift from your servant. But he said, as the Lord lives, before whom I stand, I will receive nothing. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. So Naaman said, then if not, please let your servant be given 2 mule loads of dirt or earth, for your servant will no longer offer either burnt offerings or sacrifice to the gods, but to the Lord. We'll skip down to verse 19. Then he said to him, go in peace. So he departed from him a short distance. I want to talk to you today about messy miracles. I want you to know he's still the Messiah even in the mess. And sometimes it takes a mess to see a miracle. Who's ready to see a messy miracle? I better ask you again. Who's ready to see a messy miracle? Just God get right. I'm going to ask you one more time, because some of y'all got some messes. I mean, you don't look like it, but the reality is you're dealing with a few messes. Who's ready for a messy miracle today? Oh, I feel that. I've been with him. I've been preparing. Slip up your hands if you want to get in this oil with me. Father, I love your people and I love your word. Anoint us together in Jesus' name. Somebody give the Lord a praise for messy miracles right now. Give him a shout if you love him. All right, tell your neighbor, there's a miracle in the mess. There's a miracle in the mess. Family, I want to take time today, and I just want to spend some time in this text and talk to the real you. So I'm after the real you today, not the public you, not the church version of you, not the version that knows how to function and produce and smile and keep it moving. I want to talk to the real you. I want to talk to the you that's the you when the door closes. I want to talk to the you that's the you when you take your shoes off. Come on. When you wash your makeup off, daughters. I want to talk to the real you without false eyelashes. Can I get a witness up in here? When you take your hair off, y'all don't want to help me. I want to talk to that you. I want to talk to the you when everything gets quiet. I want to talk to the you that sits at home and nobody else sees him. Because you see, this story comes alive because it starts in Naaman's house. And I'm talking to you today about messy miracles, because one thing I know, I've lived long enough to realize that real life is not always neat. It's not always clean. At least your neighbor's life ain't. Come on, at least my life ain't. Sometimes life is not always organized. Sometimes, y'all, it's chaotic. Sometimes it's full of drama. Sometimes relationships are strained. Sometimes your kids act crazy. Sometimes your mate gets on your last nerve. Sometimes your money is funny. Sometimes you don't even know why you're aggravated. You're just aggravated. Can I get a witness in here? I'm talking about that time when it's just you get home and it's real. Sometimes you can have seasons where the house looks good on the outside, but there's still things that need the touch of God. And I want to tell you right up front, I want to tell you right at the beginning of this message, God ain't intimidated by our mess. God is not waiting on your life to get better. He's not waiting for it to get perfect before he'll move. Y'all, he'll step right up into real life. He'll come right there in the drama. He'll step right into real homes, and he still does messy miracles. Come on. You can sit here and be all religious and cute, but you hadn't always been in church on Sunday morning. There's some of y'all who were a mess, but did he turn your whole life around? I better ask you again. Why don't you praise him one time? If he met you in the mess, some of the greatest miracles that I've ever received and that you'll ever receive, that doesn't happen when everything is neat and clean. They happen in a place where life gets messed up. It happens in places where you really didn't see these things coming, and it happens in environments that you didn't really want or choose. It's the places in life. It's those times when there's pain and promise in the same house. On one level, you're seeing the promises of God fulfilled. You're saved and you love Jesus. But on another level, you're feeling pain because there's a struggle with your family or your children or in your marriage. It's the place where victory and warfare can stand side by side. It's the place where you've done well in one area, but you're still bleeding in another. You see God moving in one dimension, but you're struggling. I got to find some real people. You're struggling in another dimension, and that's the folks I want to talk to today, because the Bible says in 2 Kings 5:1, now Naaman, commander of the army, was king of Syria. He was great and he was honorable. He was a great man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor. But look at the caveat. It says, but. Somebody say, but. But he was a leper. Now don't miss this, precious. The text says that he was great and he was honorable and he was favored and he was victorious and he was mighty. Those are remarkable words, aren't they? Those are powerful descriptive words. This man had position. He had power. He had influence. He had reputation. He had a record of winning. If somebody would look at him, they would say he was a winner. But it turns in the text to something raw. It turns to something disturbing. It says he was great, he was all this, he had position and reputation, and he was honorable and favored and victorious, but he was a leper. He had it all going on, but. And that's real life there. Because have you ever dealt with times that you live that reality? Yeah, I have a good job, but I'm still struggling. I have good things going on, but I still can't get along with my children. I have great friends, but I'm still struggling with my marriage. My mind is, my body is healthy, but my mind is struggling. I've got depression or fear. There's peace on my job, but there's war in my house. Can I talk to somebody today? It's that place where you got some good things going, but I stopped by to tell somebody today that God is the God of your, I don't want to say but you know what I'm saying. He's the God of the thing that's not going right. He's the God of the thing that you're struggling with. And the enemy has tried to tell you that you can have victory here, but you'll never have it there. You can have a breakthrough here, but you'll never have it there. But I stop by to tell somebody here today, even if there's some messes in your house, the miracle worker is in the room and he can do a messy miracle for you. Somebody give God praise if you actually believe that. That's how struggles are. They come and they bring hard times to our life. But here's what you got to know. This man had leprosy, and that's an important detail, because to me, It releases the weight of this chapter. Naaman was blessed, but he still had problems. And you can be blessed and still have problems. The reality is he had leprosy. Now let me explain that. Something was eating at him. Because leprosy in Scripture is not just a condition that manifests fully all at once. Leprosy is progressive. Leprosy just doesn't start and you die that day. No, it's progressive. It spreads. It consumes the body. It works underneath the surface before it fully reveals itself. And it was slowly eating away at his strength, at his sensitivity, at his wholeness. And that's how most struggles are. The hard times eat at us. If we don't get control over them, the condition of our family, the situation with our finances, the thing that we're struggling with, the enemy wants them to eat at us. You can have success, but something's still eating at you. You can have wealth, but something's still eating at you. You can have a dream job. You can look great publicly and still have something eating at you. You can be winning on the outside, but have something eating at you on the inside. You can have what seems to be a good life, but they don't know that even when you're sitting in church, something's trying to eat at you. Oh Jesus. You something is eating at your confidence, eating at your faith. But I came to tell somebody here today, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You can have times where things look so good, but you feel broken. That's why I love Psalms 34:18. The Bible said the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. We like for everything to be pristine and perfect, but not God. God's not drawn to our idea of perfection. He'll show right up in our pain. He'll show right up precious in our struggle. And that's one of the reasons that I love the Lord so much. It's the fact that he is drawn to my brokenness. I'm so glad that you're not in a perfect church. Some of y'all say, well, Jim Raley, I'm going to find me a church. Calvary's got too many issues, and I'm going to get me one of them churches, and I'm going to go to a perfect church. Can I tell you something? When you find it, they ain't going to let you in. Because you got too much junk in your trunk. Y'all don't want to help me preach. I'm glad to know that we don't have to be perfect when we come to the Lord. I'm glad to know that we're in a church right here that's full of flawed people, but we have been saved, set free, redeemed, and delivered by the blood of the Jesus Christ, and we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, and we operate in authority, not because we're perfect, but because God is good. I came to declare over your house today and mine that God still does messy miracles. Tell somebody in your neighborhood, he still does messy miracles. He'll get in the places you want to hide, the places that are unpolished. He'll heal what's complicated. Come on. He'll deal with what's wounded. He'll step into your home, into your hearts, into your marriages. He'll get in your mouth. Come on, somebody. He'll make you nicer. Oh, Jesus. He'll change the way you see things. He'll step into family circumstances that you couldn't heal, and he'll redeem it all. Glory to God. I'm seeing the Lord do so much. I want you to understand that God will touch you. And I'm talking to you today, not the filtered Instagram version of you. I'm preaching to the real you, the house hidden you, the part of you that knows something's eating at me. I need God to do something in my world. And I want you to notice something about this text, because I really want to teach this thing today. I was so taken by how this text shifted. It turned on a dime. And I don't want you to miss how this text turns, because the Spirit of God begins to move in a way that will challenge everything we assume. Because the first voice of hope in this story is not a prophet. It's not a preacher. It's not even a king. is not even a powerful man. It's a servant girl. Come on, somebody. Don't ever be surprised by how God sends a breakthrough. I know you got it figured out, but God will use situations. He'll use circumstances. He'll use people you never thought he would use. That's why you got to learn to be nice. Look at your neighbor and say, be nice. You never know who's got your miracle in their pocket. You never know who's got your breakthrough in their mouth. This little girl looked like a servant, but let me tell you, anointed by the God of Israel, she stood up and spoke power into a desperate situation. Yeah. Tell somebody in your neighborhood, you might better be nice to me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Don't doubt me. I'm hooked into something supernatural today. I love that. God can use anybody. Now, the Bible said, and the Syrians in 2 Kings 5:2 had gone out on raids and brought back a captive, a young girl from the land of Israel, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, if only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. Now, I just have to stop here because this makes me want to throw my shoe. This precious girl's been through hell. She's been taken from her home. She's been taken from her family. She lost her home, baby, but she didn't lose her faith. You better write this down or take a picture. Never underestimate someone who has struggled and still trusts God. Y'all don't make me come down there and preach. Never underestimate somebody who can go through hell and still worship the Lord. Never underestimate somebody who comes to church in pain, but they still got to praise. Y'all, I'm trying to behave myself, and I'm going to teach this. And I told him to chill, and I need you to chill. But I need to tell you today, that's the ones that the devil can't figure out. That's the ones that hell can't crack the code. Because in spite of everything they've been through, they've still got a hallelujah in their mouth. You don't do nothing. Because I'm not going to stay here. But I need to tell you, you come to church and you look around and you think, man, everybody, they got it going on. But you don't know that those same people have took a licking, but they've kept on ticking. Come on, somebody. You don't even know that some of them have been through hell. And some of the most radical praisers are the ones that said, I'm going through it, but I'm not going through it by myself. I still got a praise in my mouth. So I want somebody right now who knows that you are hooked into someone great, give God a praise that even when it's hard. Don't count those people out. I said, don't overlook those people. Don't underestimate those people. They're going to finish on top, baby. Some of the people that are here today that have brought the Lord the most radical praise have been in the most intensive warfare. And I can say it because I've lived it. Have you ever praised in pain? Have you ever worshiped wounded? I want you to take this and I want you to just put it in your pocket because this is going to be strong to you. Sometimes the clearest word comes from the deepest pain. Okay, tell your neighborhood, tell everybody in your neighborhood he's preaching to somebody. Tell him I think it's you. Come on. So sometimes the clearest word comes from the deepest pain. It's those times when we can't figure it out. Because you get in enough trouble, you don't care what anybody else says. You're not trying to hear a word or an opinion of anybody else. You need the word of the Lord. This, y'all, I don't want to get stuck here. This woman had every reason to be bitter, but she wasn't bitter, she was believing. And maybe it's been tough for somebody in this room in this last season. Maybe you've been struggling, but I have a word from heaven. Maybe you've cried a lot. Psalms 126:5 says, those who sow in tears. Do you believe your Bible? Those that sow in tears shall what? Reap in joy. The Bible said weeping may endure for the night. But joy comes in the morning. I came today to rebuke the spirit of depression off of you. I came today to bind anxiety off of you. I stepped up here with a word from heaven that says it's time for you to walk in the joy of the Lord. Somebody give God a praise that my struggle is not my story. It's part of my story. Can I help you today? Don't let pain silence your faith. The truth is, I'm looking around today. I know a lot of you in here on a personal level. Some of you have been with me for years and years. So it's given me the opportunity to be acquainted with your story. And the reality is, I'm looking at people, and some of you have been through things that should have shut you down. You've been through things that should have took you out. Oh Jesus, look straight ahead now and act like I'm not talking to you, because you got your Sunday best on, and I know you got to guard your image and be careful now. But things could have made you bitter. You went through stuff that could have blown you out of the saddle. You've been through things that should have caused you to stop trusting God. But here you are today still believing. Still praying, still pointing people to Jesus. And some of you, I gotta be careful, some of you are sitting in the fruit of perseverance. Not because you were perfect, but because you refused to quit. I wanna hear from at least 800-900 people, not everybody. I wanna hear from the people that ain't gonna quit and not gonna give up. My family shall be saved. My situation shall shift. My city shall burn in revival. Give God a praise in here. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory be to Jesus. Man, I couldn't wait to get here to preach to you. I've been preaching to myself. I preached to the cat. Come on, somebody. I was preaching to Dawn. She got delivered. Hallelujah. Never underestimate someone who has struggled, but still trusts God. Many of us don't look like what we've been through. I better move on. That little girl was the doorway to Naaman's miracle. Just tell somebody, I might be the doorway to your miracle. Come on. Oh, you couldn't tell them. Your hiney got tight trying to tell them that. You just drew right up. You know, no, your witness, your faithfulness might unlock the door for somebody's miracle. Hallelujah. Don't underestimate God's power and his ability to use you in spite of what you've struggled with, ma'am. And in spite of what you've been through, sir. Now, in this text, and I want to lean into it, precious, she said two words that really struck me. She said in that text, if only. Somebody say, if only. I've watched people live their lives in an if only situation. If only I had her husband. I better go take my seat because I think I just hit a nerve. It's getting quiet in this. If only I had his wife. If only I had her job. If only I had his house. If only I was skinnier. You know what? I've been trying to lose weight. And the battle is that when you're skinnier, you fight not getting fatter because you tell yourself you're skinnier so you can eat all you want to eat. Come on, somebody. If only I had more of this, or if only I had more of that. Hear me, if only is where too many people live rehearsing what they don't have instead of thanking God for what they do have. I want somebody to thank God for what you do have right now. And sometimes you got to stop rehearsing what you don't have and begin rehearsing what God is saying about your life. God, you missed it right there. I don't have what I need, but my God shall supply all my needs. Who said that? God said it. According to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Well, my children are not saved, but as for me, and my house, say it, we will. Yes, I'm looking now not to go on what I feel, but to go on what God says. That mindset, precious, what it does for you, young person, it keeps you circling. You perpetually and continually circle. And the problem is, you'll circle what was or what somebody else has instead of stepping into what God has for you. But I love this text because if only, I want you to get this in your spirit, it's not your residence, it's a revelation moment. God never intended for you to live in an if only existence. The servant girl didn't stay in if only. She pointed to the place that God was moving. This is getting deep. Now Naaman hears the word. This servant girl points him to the miracle worker Jehovah. And in 2 Kings 5, he moves toward his miracle, but he doesn't move empty-handed. The Bible says that he departed and he took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. Now, we don't even know in our vernacular and understanding really what that was. So I took some time and researched it. It was no small offering. It was the equivalent of today's money. It would equal out to be about $12 million. The brother came loaded. Come on, somebody. He came with wealth, resources, influence, and he came with the assumption that his miracle could be managed. That something he had could take care of his problem. Y'all don't want to help me preach. Sometimes we get this mentality that it's going to be something we have that shifts our situation. But I'm glad to know that I'm here today not because of something I have or because of something I am. I'm here because the God of grace is on my side. He comes and the dude is loaded. And he thought, man, I'm about to manage this miracle like I manage everything else. But I'm about to share something with you that you can't miss. You cannot buy a miracle. I better tell this side. You cannot buy a miracle. I'm going to give y'all one more chance. I said that you can't buy a miracle. I'm going to tell the whole house, you can't buy a miracle. Any of these people trying to sell a miracle, it's not theirs to sell. Miracles are not anybody's to sell. We don't get a miracle because we buy it. We get a miracle because there is a God who can do exceedingly abundantly far above all we can ask or think. Isaiah 55:1 says, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat without money and without price. Some of us know, we've lived long enough to know, you can't purchase peace. I know people that's got, man, more money than they can shake a stick at, but they don't have peace. You can't pay for healing. You can't invest enough money that you purchase your restoration. And when Naaman is healed and tries to give Elisha a gift, the prophet refuses, because a real miracle is not for sale and a true prophet cannot be bought. If Elisha had taken the money, Naaman could have left thinking, I purchased that healing. He would have walked away saying, I bought that. But God wanted him to know, this is by grace and not by gold. Come on, somebody. Now here's where the story intensifies. Naaman arrives on his Mercedes mule. Y'all don't want to help me. Shows up on his Cadillac camel. His Lexus Llama. Y'all know he's loaded. If he's got $12 million, you know people see the camel, go by, boy, I love his camel. Wouldn't you like to have a camel like his? Come on, somebody. But watch this. He shows up. He's ready for his moment. He thinks, my goodness, this is going to be so amazing. I can't wait to see. This is going to be so cool. I bet he's going to come out. And angels are probably going to sing, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, it's going to be so wonderful. I can't wait. The fire might fall. It's going to be incredible. He expects recognition. The prophet will probably come out because he knows who I am. He'll probably bow and say, I'm so glad that you're here. He expects a display. And he's probably saying, this is going to be great. Oh, I'm so excited. And look what verse 10 says. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go wash in the Jordan River 7 times. In other words, he didn't even come out of the tent. He said, I've got some popcorn in the microwave right now, and I'm trying to get that out, and I'm too busy. Just go tell him to wash 7 times in the Jordan. No personal appearance, no dramatic event, just a message. And when that happened, Naaman got mad as fire. He got angry, and he said, here's where he got in trouble. He said in verse 11, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me. In other words, he said, I thought it was going to be like this. I thought God would do it this way. Can I tell you, sometimes the most trouble you will get in is trying to figure out how God is going to do it, because you get these preconceived ideas. Come on, you get married and you think, man, this is how it's going to be. This is, I married Dawn. We got married. We've been married a long time. When we got married, I thought I would say jump. And she would say, how high, baby? Y'all don't want to help me. I want to talk to real people. We got married. I thought, man, I'm going to put my foot down. This is how it's going to be. And I put my foot down, and then she puts her foot down right on top of my foot. Y'all don't want to help me. How many of you know that sometimes life don't go the way you think it's going to go? But just because God don't move how you think he's going to move doesn't mean that God's not going to move, because he's still God all by himself. God doesn't need your permission to flip the script. He doesn't need your permission to move outside the box. I'm glad today that I color outside the lines. I want, or that God colors outside the lines. I need somebody right now who's saying, God, I don't care how you do it. I don't care how you heal it, shift it, move it, bless it, change it. I don't care how you turn it. I don't even care who you use. All I can tell you is, however you do it, I'm going to go ahead and praise you, and you'll get the glory for it. Take about 10 seconds and thank God that any way he wants to do it. Okay, I gotta hurry. You know what that means? Not one thing. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, the Bible said, nor my ways your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. God won't follow our script, y'all. Naaman wanted a spectacular miracle, and God gives him a simple instruction. And the issue was not a hard thing. The issue was pride. Then Naaman says, watch this. He says, are not the Abinah and the Phaphar, are not these rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? He wanted a better river. He wanted a more impressive river. He wanted a clearer river. He wanted a familiar river. He wanted a river that made him comfortable. If you don't believe it, the river Abinah means familiar. Phar means impressive. So he said, I want the familiar. I want the impressive. That's what those two rivers mean if you define them. But Jordan means to go down. Jordan means to descend. See, Abinah felt familiar. Pharpar felt impressive. But God said, I'm not going to do this miracle in the way you want me to. He said, I am calling you to a place of humility. Jordan was not about selection. It was about surrender. And God was saying, you got to get the pride out of your life. And you got to humble yourself. And you got to go down. See, if he would have got it the way he wanted it, he might have thought he produced it. But is there anybody who says, God, any way you want to move, I'll go down so I can go up? You got to get in the right river. The right river may not look better, it may not be more comfortable, and it may challenge your pride. But right there is where the miracle came. So he went down, the Bible says, and he dipped in the Jordan. Now I need my assistant, my beautiful assistant, the only assistant I got. Ain't she pretty? She sure is. So we're going to pretend like you're the servant girl. Can you handle it? And I'm Naaman, and I'm aggravated, and I'm upset, because I don't want to go to that nasty river. I don't want to go, but she is going to help me. You better thank God for everybody in your life that ever helped you not lose your mind. I mean, In her mind, she has kept me out of so many wrecks. Y'all don't want to help me.
I really have. That's no lie.
We are like 14 car lengths ahead. They're in a whole nother city, and she's going, ah! I don't even know. I don't know how I get anywhere without her in the car. When I drive by myself, it's amazing that I even arrive. I need some men who know what I'm talking about. So you're going to be the serpent girl. Okay. I'm not going that river.
Come on now. You can dunk.
I don't want to do it.
Can you just do what the man said?
It's stupid. It's stupid, but...
It's simple.
I'm going in. And I'm going to start dipping. You ready? So I'm naming. So he gets in there. This is dumb.
It's not dumb. All you got to do is just dunk down in the water.
I'll go one time.
Look at that. That wasn't bad.
I feel stupid. This water is nasty. I thought the prophet was going, he got me in this nasty water.
Come on, it's not going to kill you to dunk in the water.
I don't even like to do it. I'm getting out.
No, you stay in the water. He said if you just dip 7 times.
Okay, I'll dip one more time. Here it goes.
Come on, you can do it.
Somebody's helping me. Yes. You can do it. Nothing's changing.
But you've only done it twice. He said dip 7 times.
I dipped 2 times. I need to see something happening up in here. Okay.
Listen to the word of the Lord. He said 7 times and you would be healed. It's not hard. Come on now. You can do it. You can do it. Come on. That's three. You got it.
Look at this water. This water is so nasty. This is not me. This is not me. I like better water than this. Why am I even dipping in this water? This ain't me. I'm getting out now.
Hey, if it would bring forth your miracle, would you not just dip in it 4 more times?
Oh, you are on my last nerve. I'm telling you. Okay, here we go. Number 4. 4 and no more. Here we go, y'all.
Four. You got it.
Can't you see a service cheering him on? Y'all better help me.
Come on, 4. Come on, this is the 4th one. Come on. You got it.
Okay, that was 4 times.
Only 3 more.
Get ready, J-Dub, to help me. That was 4 times.
I know, only 3 more.
This is aggravating. I don't want to do not 1 more. 4 is enough. 4 and no more.
No, the word of the Lord was 7. That was the word from the Lord. 7.
The river's nasty.
It don't matter.
I got dirt in my armpits.
It don't matter. The word of the Lord
was
7.
I'll do it one more time. All right, I'm tired. This ain't working.
Come on, you got it. Come on, you can do it. 5. Come on. You got the grace for it.
Okay, 5 is plenty. I'm getting out.
Nope, stay in there. Just stay in there. 2 more times. 2 more times. Come
okay,
on.
I'm
going to
do 6. 6 is it. 6, it's done. Because I'm telling you, here it goes. No, I can't do it.
Come on. He said
okay,
7.
Okay, here it goes.
You got it. There you go. Look at
that. That's
there.
It. I
now
tried
that,
it. It
that
ain't
did not
working.
Hurt you. One more time.
It ain't. How do
you,
what?
You only got to try one more time.
Do what?
Just one more time.
Just one more time.
Just one more time.
I'm coming
good.
Out of character. I need to tell somebody it's time to dip one more time.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not going to be naming for just a second. I need to tell you it's time to dip one more time. Tell
one
somebody
time.
In your neighborhood one more time.
One more time.
Yeah. It's time to believe one
That's
more time.
Right. Yes.
Maybe you don't feel it, but one more time.
Come on.
Have you ever dipped? Not
yes.
because you felt it, not because it made sense, not because anything changed, but you did it because God said it.
Yes. Come on. Come on, you got it.
I have a word for somebody here. Some of you prayed, but you stopped. Some of you believed, but you stopped. Some of you obeyed, but you got frustrated. But I came to tell you today, one more time, look at your neighbor and say one more time.
One more time.
This might be the time that your family turns around.
Come on. Come on.
This might be the time that your season shifts.
Yes.
I need you to jump on your feet and tell somebody one more time.
One more time.
I don't know if they heard
you.
I need somebody that's been in a fist fight and the devil tells you it ain't gonna change. I want you to open up your mouth and give God praise one more time. You gotta dip when it's awkward. You gotta dip when nothing's changing. You gotta dip when your family's going crazy. You gotta dip when they get fired. You gotta dip when it's a bad doctor's report. I want somebody who's going to go down one more time. Open up your mouth and give God a shout. So now we go get the servant girl. And I want you to get a neighbor by the hand. And we're going to dip together. Seven times. Y'all can't help me in here. Y'all done got religious on me. I want everybody that needs a breakthrough or a messy miracle, open your mouth with a shout right now. Come on, somebody. I know this may be too much for religious folks, but I'm about to exercise my faith. So tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, we're going to dip seven times. And I believe that God, yeah, hallelujah, is going to release messy miracles in my house. Are you ready? Here we go. Go one. Shout right now. Go two. I feel something shifting. I feel faith rising. Give me your mic. Turn this thing. Yeah. Okay, dip two, dip three. Now holler that you made it three times. You ready for number four? I said, are you ready for number four? I said, are you ready? Come on down for number four. I feel something shifting in this room.
Yeah.
I feel like I could run all over the house. Are you ready for number five? I say, I want every young person, I want every person in this room, if you're ready for number five, somebody give God a shout right now. Are you ready? Here we go, number five. Oh, Lordy. Hell's getting nervous. Here we go, number six. Are you ready? Tell somebody, I'm getting close. I'm getting close. I'm getting close to my breakthrough. I'm getting close to my new season. I'm getting close to a financial turnaround. I'm getting close to a miracle in my family. Holler at everybody and say one more time. One more time. Your miracle. One more time. Are you ready? Here we go. I need some church music. I want you to get your neighbor by the hand and say, neighbor, say you can stand there, but I believe that I'm gonna have a messy miracle. If that's you, come on out here and give the Lord a radical praise. Jesus, give me a little more of this monitor. I got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. I got a feeling
everything's gonna be all right. I got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. Be all right. Be all right. Be all right.
One more time. One more time, one more time, one more time, one more time,
one more time, one more time, one more time, one more time, one more time, one more time, one more time,
one more time, one more time,
one more time, one more time.
Well, a little boy named David went out to kill the lion. Everybody laughed at such a funny little sight. A little shepherd boy armed only with a sling. Beside mighty Goliath looked like a puny little thing. He said, you come to me with your spear and your sword. I come to you in the name of the Lord. He picked up a stone, he put in his sling, and when Goliath hit the ground, David, he began to sing. They opened up us to give birth to a resurrected Savior with healing in his wings. And now Calvary, rise and sing, say,
my mind, he saved me.
1, 2, 3, praise the Lord. That was a good praise. But I heard the Lord say, tell him to praise me one more time. Somebody praise him one more time. Somebody shout one more time. Somebody shout one more time. Somebody dance one more time. Pray one more time. Believe, I feel something breaking. I feel something shifting. I feel something unlocking. One more time. You've been down long enough. Praise it one more time. Y'all, I feel revival in here. I feel restoration in here. Somebody shout one more time. I know your money's been empty, but shout one more time. I know your family's been struggling, but praise it one more time. Doors are opening. Come on, seasons are shifting. I'm gonna let you shout. 1, 2, 3. Shout unto God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Nobody leave for a moment. I'm going to pronounce a blessing over you. Ooh, glory to God. I feel breaking. Tell your neighbor something's breaking. Come on, tell him. Tell him something's shifting. So, I want everybody to just reverence this moment. This was a dangerous message, wasn't it? I was wanting to teach it, but I kept getting a little bit excited because I knew how this was going to end. I played this in my spirit over and over again this week. I knew I was going to have you dip. Yeah. That's what the Holy Spirit said. Just get them in an illustration where they realize some of you need to know you can't stop at 6 or 5 or 3. Some of you prayed, believed, obeyed, but you got frustrated, you got tired, and you stopped. But dip again. Your marriage is struggling, but dip again. Your children are lost, but dip again. Sometimes you gotta dip. Nobody rush for a moment, because there's just a wave of breakthrough that's gonna sweep the room. It's already happened for somebody. If you've already felt breakthrough, give the Lord a praise right now. So come up here, Pastor Dawn, the little servant girl. Up here, babe. We talk a lot about our lives, and we talk about our journeys. I don't know if you've lived long enough where sometimes you talk about what the Lord brought you out of and brought you through. Does anybody have anything that God brought you out of and brought you through? How many of you can sense the direction of the Lord even by being here today? I sense that. Come up here, babe. She's choking like I was choking. You're getting all choked up. That's what happens when you look at me. So here's the deal. Maybe it's been hard. Maybe it's been tough. But you got to go back to the water, and you got to dip again. Sometimes you got to dip when it looks messy, and dip when it looks awkward, and dip when nothing's changing. Because when he dipped that last time, the Bible said he came up and his flesh was restored like that of a child. God doesn't patch brokenness. Come on now. He restores it. And here's what I love, precious, and I don't want you to miss this. I know I gotta let you go. But what I love about this, he said, now I know there is no God in all the earth except the God of Israel. If you believe that Jehovah is the only God and Jesus is the only way, and then he said, give me 2 mule loads of dirt because I want to take this. Watch, don't miss it. He said, I want to take this home with me. Here's where the enemy gets really afraid, is when you don't leave these moments in the church or in the building, but you take these moments home with you. How many of you want to take this home with you for your family? How many of you want to take it home with you for your children? His thinking changed, his worship changed, but also his house changed. Will you slip up your hands? I release transformation in your life. I declare that this teaching and this radical message that produced a transformational praise, this is not just a moment for your church, it's a change for your house, for your family, for your finances. Hold up your hands, precious. I feel Jesus in this thing. I feel like a father encouraging you now. Stop trying to act like it ain't hard. Be honest about the mess. Be honest about the struggle. This is what I need you to do. Listen for the voice of God. Obey without pride. Get into that right river and say, Lord, whatever you want and whatever you do, don't stop at 6. Come on, somebody. I release over you breakthroughs even this week. I release over you precious miracles and wonders. You say, but Jim Raley, my situation is messy. Here's what I'm declaring by faith for you. Oh, I feel this. And for people by live stream around the world, I release in your life messy miracles. If you receive it, give God a praise. So stand right there. The Lord bless you. Hold up your hands and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you. And I'm singing your blessing today. You sing it over yourself. Sing it. Raise your hands and sing it like you're singing it over yourself. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face toward you. We're going to sing it one more time. There's a release happening right now. Raise your hands and receive it. Come on. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you. We're going to sing it the last time. I feel something. Come on, wave your hands and say it again, the Lord.
The Lord bless you.
here's what I declare, that this week you're going to see messy miracles. And if you're here today and you need a messy miracle, we've got altar workers that have been trained and they want to pray with you. If you need salvation, we'll believe with you right now. Jesus will save you in this very moment. If you need healing, if you need a breakthrough in your family, you can come and these people will pray with you. That's why they're here. They want to believe for your family. And you never know what God's going to do. This week I declare that the favor of the Lord is yours and it's mine. Did you receive today? Are you glad you came? All right. I love you. You by live stream, thank you for being with us. If you need prayer, come forward. They're going to sing.